I don't know how old I was when it happened, but I have a distinct memory of the moment when I finally understood the difference between left and right. It was in church, actually, when it happened, my home church of Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Ephrata, Washington. There was this long hallway that led from the back doors, back side doors of the sanctuary, all the way down to another set of doors, outside doors. But before you got outside, the hallway turned 90 degrees, and the fellowship hall was at the end of that part of the hallway. So the church was like a big L. And I remember standing in that corner of the L and looking back and forth from the fellowship hall to the sanctuary, trying to figure out this left-right thing. Because someone had told me the trick with your hands, where you hold out your hands, and the one that makes the L that is facing the right way, that's your left hand. So I got that much, at least. But what I couldn't understand as I stood in my church and looked down one hallway and then the other was why left and right indicated totally different locations depending on where you were looking. I think maybe I understood a little bit about east and west and north, and those indicated the same locations in the church. But left and right, as I looked this way, was the kitchen and the bathrooms. But left and right, as I looked this way, was the Sunday school rooms and the library and the church office. But for some reason, one day I was standing in that place looking back and forth, and it clicked. I got it. I understood that left and right were relative directions. I wouldn't have had those words for it then at the time, of course, but I understood that left and right depended on me, and whatever direction I was facing, whoever was standing with me, they would also know left and right as we face the same way together. And I began to understand how this could be helpful, and left and right could help you navigate your way through the world. In our gospel story for today, we hear John the Baptist urging people to understand clearly the direction of their lives and to prepare the way for God to come to them and walk alongside them. John lives in the wilderness. He lived in the wilderness. And people who wanted to hear his message, they had to walk out into the wilderness, away from the city, into that barren, lonely place to find him. John's preaching was about the wilderness of a life lived captive to sin. And even Jesus came out of the city to find John in the wilderness to be baptized, and then was driven by the Holy Spirit even deeper into the wilderness, where he faced all kinds of temptations in the company of Satan. Next week, we'll hear again about our friend John the Baptist. And in that story, we hear how he goes from the wilderness of the desert with no comfort of shelter or family into the dark wilderness of the king's prisons. It's no coincidence, I think, that the stories we hear that begin to remind us or help us remember the story of the birth of Jesus, that these stories begin in the wilderness. John points the way to God's coming. John's reminder of God's promise to make all things new and alive, as we hear in the words of the prophet Isaiah this morning, all of that comes from the midst of a place that seems barren. Life sometimes takes us into the wilderness, and the ancient wisdom of our faith is honest about those lonely, dark places in our lives, the wildernesses inside us and in our communities and our world. There are all kinds of wildernesses. Finding out you have a chronic, maybe life-threatening illness, the death of a loved one, being bullied at school or work, trudging through day after day in a job you hate, or not being able to find a job. There are all kinds of places that can feel uninhabited and lonely in our lives. And sometimes we make our own wilderness. Petty jealousy or an unkind or just unthinking word can sour a friendship. Prejudice, greed, and fear divides communities and fuels conflict all over the world. But Christian scripture, The story of God and God's people shows a deep realism about those wildernesses in our lives and in our world. In the stories of the Bible, people experience hunger. They lose children or spouses, or they experience the grief of not being able to have children. They experience poverty and family conflict and years of war fought in the name of God or security or freedom. In the stories in the Bible, people make huge drunken mistakes and betray friends and family. They scheme and cheat and chase after gods, false gods of wealth and prestige and notoriety, and just often are generally messing things up. Does any of that sound familiar? The marvel of our stories, the stories of our faith, the marvel of the Christmas story, is that they tell of God coming to us exactly in those places that seem the most God-forsaken. That God comes to us to be with us in all of our wildernesses. John the Baptist assured the people who came to hear him in the wilderness that God was coming to them, to be with them in the midst of their lonely places. But he also urged them to be prepared for God's coming, to prepare themselves so that they would recognize the God who would show up for them. He said to the Pharisees and the Sadducees, "Do not presume that you are ready despite all that you do in your life, but go deeper and go further in seeking God." And John urges us to do the same. Go deeper and go further to follow Jesus. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near." And repentance doesn't just mean being sorry for what you have done. It means turning to follow a new way, to go in a new direction. It means knowing your left from your right, knowing the things that turn you away from God and the things that turn you toward the God who is seeking you. I lived in Texas for a year in my 20s, and before I moved there, I had a friend who was from the Southwest, and she would go on and on and on about the colors of the desert. So I had high expectations. And when I got to El Paso and I looked around me at the brown and gray and tan landscape, I wondered what she was talking about when she talked about all those colors. And this went on for about 7 months. And then spring came, and it was a revelation. I finally got what she was talking about. See, cactuses, they don't bloom for very long in a year, but they make up for it in the showiness of their blossoms. They're these vivid shades of red and yellow and orange and purple, and they stand out in the midst of that tan landscape. My favorite blooming thing was called a blooming stick, which is apt because it looked like nothing but a dead, gray, thorny broomstick for most of the year. But when spring came, these little round green ears would march up and down these sticks in the desert. And following the leaves came these beautiful orange, papery, fragile blossoms all up and down the blooming sticks. And it was like witnessing the miracle of life springing out of death, a new green shoot coming out of the stump of Jesse, as Isaiah said. There's something interesting about John the Baptist. He wasn't the only wilderness preacher of his time. And his baptism in the waters of Jordan was not the only water ritual that people went through at the time. What made it unique was that baptism couldn't be self-administered. You can't baptize yourself. To be baptized, you have to have company, even in the wildest places. Life takes us through many barren places where we might feel wrecked by loss, afraid, and alone. But we are a wilderness people with a God who meets us in the wilderness. And we are called to be together in the wilderness, to be prepared to see new life coming in the most unexpected places, to see God with us there, to turn and to follow. Advent isn't a season of wilderness, though we hear so much about the wilderness in our readings this season, but it's a kind of waiting room or a hoping room that we carry with us in the midst of the wilderness. It doesn't take us out of those barren places necessarily, but it brings us together to welcome one another, remind each other of the colors that spring out of even the most barren sticks in the desert, and tell each other the stories of the God who has always walked with people in the wilderness, to tell each other that special story of the God who was born into the wilderness of a hard land of conflict and poverty, born to live a hard life and die a hard death, and then rise again, bringing new life to all kinds of people in all kinds of wildernesses. The story of God coming to us in Jesus begins in the wilderness because so often that is where we live. In this season of Advent, we consider the darkness in our world and in our lives because we cannot know the deep joy and surprise of the Christmas story, Emmanuel, God with us, if we don't start at the beginning, in the wilderness, and admit when we are in darkness and need God's light. So here we are. Let us then wait and hope together and hear that story of new life that springs forth from the wilderness, wherever we are. Amen.